The title of the message is Hold Fast, or a warning against apostasy, of leaving the gospel for something else. That's what apostasy is. It's leaving the gospel, it's going back for something that they think is better, or something that one thinks is better. Christ is not enough. That's saying that God is not enough, because Jesus Christ is God. Now, after all that has been said about Jesus Christ purging us from our sins, about having a high priest over the house of God, by one sacrifice perfecting forever them that are sanctified, the apostle says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. The exhortation here is to hold fast. That means to hold down, to have a firm grip. Keep a firm grip on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't loosen your grip for any reason. Whatever trial comes along, and God will send some hard trials. He can send us some severe trials. And this is why the apostle is saying to these Hebrews here, because they were under some severe persecution, and because of it, some were wanting to go back. They were wanting to go back. And he's saying, here, hold fast. It's like hold the line. Don't let temptations and hardships and trials and persecution cause you to loosen your grip on the gospel. Embrace the gospel. Embrace the gospel more strongly as you grow older. I can't tell you how important that statement is. As you and I grow older, let's embrace the gospel even more strongly than when we began. I need Jesus Christ just as much today as I did when I first started. I need him just as much, if not more. Keep a firm grip on how God saves sinners. You know, we can read it like this. Let us hold fast the profession of our hope. You know, Paul tells Timothy, in writing to Timothy, he writes Jesus Christ, our hope. Don't lose that. Don't lose that. You think, well, I would never lose that. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. I have seen people over the years leave that I never, never thought would leave. Just shocked me. That's when the Lord says, son, one of you is going to betray me. And they one by one said, Lord, is it I? Embrace the gospel more strongly. If persecution increases over the gospel, if it increases over the gospel, embrace it more strongly. That's what Paul's telling them here. I believe Paul wrote it, so when I say Paul, I believe he's the one who wrote Hebrews. But how are we to do this? Well, he says, without wavering. Without wavering, without doubting. Wavering is dangerous. Be steadfast. Be solid in the gospel. Confident. As he says in verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence. Absolutely sure that Jesus Christ is God, Jesus Christ is the Messiah, Jesus Christ is everything I need. In him we are complete. Don't lose that confidence. Don't lose it. And it also means this, without wavering means to be inclined or to lean forward. In this case, it means to lean backwards. And a good example of that was, or is, Israel going through the wilderness. Every time they got in trouble, what did they want to do? Let's go back to Egypt. Why did we leave Egypt? We need to go back to Egypt. Back in Egypt, we had the onions and the leaves, and back in Egypt. That's what he's saying right here. Don't lean backwards. Don't lean to going back. Don't be inclined to leave. Don't be inclined to leave the gospel. And our motive is this. He is faithful that promised. God has given us His word. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. You believe that? He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. God is good for His word. In one scripture, I believe it's in the Psalms, it says that He has magnified His word above His name. Because He's only as good as His word. And God has given His word. God's faithfulness is our greatest motive to keep going forward. One time Moses was praying about something there in the wilderness. And God said to Moses, I'm going to paraphrase. God said to Moses, basically, Moses, be quiet, shut up, and go forward. I said go forward, now go forward. And that's why He's telling us here, just go forward. The Scripture says, hath He said, and shall He not do it? Has God given His word, and shall He not fulfill His word? You know He will. And here's the means. He gives us the means that keeps us from drawing back, that helps us to keep going forward. And here's one of them in verse 24. And let us consider one another. This word consider means it is a continual care of one another. It means to look after carefully the spiritual welfare of one another. Look after one another. Look after one another's welfare spiritually. Encourage one another. You see a brother or a sister starting to waver or I've seen it in myself. I've seen it in myself. I've seen it in myself to grow cold. I hate to say that, but to grow cold. You start to find other things to do or something else takes you. I've done that. I've been there. And when you see that, encourage them. Encourage them with the word. Encourage them with the gospel. Encourage them in love. Encourage one another. That's why he's saying that word consider means in the Greek continual care of one another. To provoke, and this means in the Greek, it means to incite. It means to stimulate unto love and to good works. It's like encourage one another to go on. Come on. One of the greatest means for us to use to keep going forward, the greatest means, other than the preaching of the gospel, sitting here under the gospel and reading God's word, and the second greatest means is one another. It's one another. We cannot get together too much. I don't believe that. I don't believe you can. The fellowship we had out at the farm and the pig picking, that is so important to do that. It is so important to get together like that and encourage one another and just be with one another. It's the body of Christ. It's the body of Christ. You are my real family. You're my real family. I've got brothers and sisters who are my family, and I love them. But not all of them believe the gospel. Not all of them believe the gospel. And one day, that relationship is going to be severed. That fleshly relationship is going to be severed by death. But our relationship in Jesus Christ will not, it will not be severed. It'll only grow and grow and grow. It'll never stop growing. It won't. It will never stop growing. Love to one another will never stop growing. Learning of God, now listen, learning of God throughout eternity will never stop. We will never exhaust the knowledge of God, ever. Ever. And consider one another, look after one another, encourage one another in the gospel. We all have spiritual lows. And I think we have them more often than we do anything else. Because of this flesh, because of sin. We have spiritual lows. And we need to help. I was trying to think today, and I was going to go and get the scripture, but I forgot. I got something came along and took my mind off of it. But the two men that helped Moses, remember when Israel was in a battle? And there was two men, and I can't remember. My mind is gone. It'll come back sooner or later. But anyway, regardless of their names, one stood on one side of Moses, one stood on the other side of Moses, and held his arms up. And that's what he's saying to do. The battle sometimes gets hot. And when it's hot, especially it may be hotter on one of you than it is on the others. And when it's hot, hold each other's arms up. Be there. Be there. And here's another one. Now listen, this is important. Not forsaking. Not forsaking. And that word means this. Let down or abandon. Don't abandon the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is. Some had quit. Some had just quit the service. Quit going to the service, the worship service. Quit sitting under the gospel. They quit. And they quit because of persecution. Because it just got to be too rough. And they said, honey, I'm not going tonight. We're just staying home. This is just more than we can take. You know, some of those people, now you have to understand what they were excommunicated. Their homes were taken. Their land was taken. You know, let me, what I'm thinking about it. Here in verse 33, let me read something here. I'll find it here in a minute. Partly while you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used, for you had compassion of me and my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. You know what this is saying? I'm getting into next week's message. But that's all right. We may not be here next week. But you had compassion of me and my bonds and took joyfully. You took. Now listen. You took with joy and a great attitude the losing of your property. Because you know that in heaven you have something that's everlasting. That's what he's saying there in that verse. Their land was confiscated. Their home was confiscated. And he's saying that you took that joyfully. You didn't get mad at God. Why did God do this? Why did God take this? You didn't get mad at God. You took it joyfully because you know that in heaven you have a more enduring substance. You know that. Boy, I read that today. I thought, wow. Wow. They lost everything, and they took it joyfully. Well, I'm off my subject. Let's go back to verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know what the first sign just about every time, the first sign of apostasy? Absence from the service. Absence from the service, and they're not here again, and not again. Next thing you know, they're gone. That's the first step. That is the first step of apostasy. When you quit sitting under the gospel on purpose. I'm not talking about if you can't help it, but I mean on purpose. Satan is very subtle. His method is divide and conquer. His method is to find fault. And our Lord said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And one of the church's greatest strength, you know what her greatest, one of her greatest strength is? Her solidarity in Jesus Christ. In Christ, we are one. In Christ, we stand together, undivided. It doesn't matter what nationality. If God has saved us, we stand undivided. Period. I don't care if you're a Republican or Democrat. In Christ, we stand undivided. In Christ, we are one. In Christ, we are one. God has placed a special blessing on the gathering of His people in His name, where two or three are gathered together in My name. There am I in the midst. Do we really believe that? Do you really think when Thursday night rolls around or Sunday rolls around, you say, honey, we're going to go to church. The Lord's going to be there tonight. The Lord said He's going to be, He promised to be there if two or three show up in My name. He promised to be there. There's your reason for coming. Not because it's Thursday night. The Lord said, I'll be there. The internet, tapes are good, but they are not to replace our gathering together. There's just a special blessing on this. Special blessing. It's so important to spiritual growth. Don't ask God to increase your faith. I should not ask God to increase my faith if I rarely show up to hear the gospel. That's mockery. My friends, that's mockery to God. Let me give you an example. Responsible parents will not let their children skip school, will they? Say, no, you're going to school. You're going to school today. You're going to learn something today. How much more important is being where the gospel is preached? How much more important is that? Henry gave this example. I've heard him give it several times. You've heard it, I know. I know you've heard it. But you take a piece of coal out of the fire and see how quickly it cools down. See how quickly the fire goes out. It'll sit there hot. And then it starts to smolder and the smoke starts to rise out of it. And then the next thing you know, it's cold. Cold. We open ourselves up to much spiritual trouble when we absence the preaching of the gospel. We absence ourselves from the preaching of the gospel. We open ourselves up to spiritual problems, spiritual depression. Say, I'm just down. I'm just down. Well, one of the ways to get up is to hear the gospel. For God, to ask God, enable me to hear. When you come here to the service, ask God to speak to you. Ask God to enable you to hear His voice. To teach and instruct you. He's your Father. Ask Him. And don't just follow anyone, for he says here, as the manner of some is. Some who profess to believe are not to be followed. Not everyone who professes to believe is worth following. Many will say, Lord, Lord, preached in your name. Well, I wouldn't follow that crowd because he's getting ready to cast them out. Don't follow just anyone. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, knows the one they're talking about. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. As I follow Christ. You see, these Judaizers wanted to take them away from Christ. Now, I've been reading through Deuteronomy. I started that. I finished up Leviticus this last week, and I started through Deuteronomy. I try to read a book in the Old Testament. First thing in the morning when I go into my study, I try just to read a book. And I have to take 3 or 4 chapters a morning. And I was reading in Deuteronomy yesterday, I believe it was, if a son or daughter entices you to leave the gospel or to leave God, to go to another place, to go to a place where sit under another god, to worship another god, you know what he said do to him? Kill him. If it's your son or daughter, if they entice you to go and worship another god, you are to bring them before the assembly, and you are to throw the first stone, and the assembly are to kill him. They're to kill him. Our God is a jealous God. That's one of his names. He said, my name is jealous. It's jealous. The danger the writer has been dealing with is some are going back to Judaism and leaving the gospel. They're going back. That'd be like somebody, I was thinking of this today, it'd be like someone leaving Catholicism. They heard the gospel preached. They have professed Christ. They say, I believe that. I understand. I believe the gospel. And then one day, they say, I don't. I'm going to go back to Catholicism. I'm going back to Catholicism. And because of persecution and trouble, some were leaving. They were leaving. And they went back to the temple. They went back to the sacrifices. They went back to the law. They went back. But he says here, but exhort one another. Warn one another, remind one another that all this is going to be dissolved. All this, everything we own is going to be burnt up someday. All of it. And we need to remind each other of this. You see someone going, and it's easy to do. It's easy to get. I was in business at one time for 25 years. I know how I can get a hold of you. I know how you can get a hold of you. Henry sat me down one time and talked to me about it a little bit. I know how I can get a hold of you. I was starting to find myself going after it and starting to be absent. And God shut the doors on it. I thank God he did. I thank God he did. Exhort one another, warn one another, remind one another, all this is going to be dissolved. Help one another to set our minds on things above by talking about things above. By talking about things above. Not talking about the political landscape. Not talking about a lot of things. And I'm not saying we can't talk about these things. But my soul, it should not be our full conversation. I remember a man, Gerald Kuhn, who was at 13th Street, known him for years. Man believed the gospel. I couldn't be in that man's presence. He had a car lot. He owned a car lot. I wouldn't be in his presence 5-10 minutes, and we were sitting there, and he took off talking about the gospel. 5-10 minutes with him, I could guarantee you every time where that our conversation was going to go. Every time. Never failed. Never failed. Help one another to set our minds on things above. Talk often of Christ. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. It's approaching. Our fervence over the gospel ought to grow as we get closer to the end. We ought to get a little more excited as we grow closer to the end, shouldn't we? Our redemption is nearer than when we believe, the scripture says. The day of our departing is nearer than when we were born. I am 63 years closer than when I began. I'm 63 years closer to going home than when I started. Now that the writer has looked at the means against apostasy, he now turns to perseverance in the faith and the consequence of leaving. He says here in verse 26, "For if we sin willfully," and that means with full knowledge, like Adam did. You know, when Adam sinned, you see, it says Eve was deceived. When Adam sinned, he sinned with full knowledge. He knew exactly what he was doing. "For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins." Now I know this, all our sins have some degree of willfulness in them. Right? They all do. They all do. But that's not what he's talking about. Because John said, "If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father." But here, willfully has to do with willfully, with full knowledge, rejecting the gospel. Rejecting Jesus Christ as the only way to God. Rejecting Him as the only way to God. The people who left here that Paul's speaking of, they were not atheists. They were still religious. They just left Christ. And if we leave Christ, He will profit us nothing. It can't be Christ and the law, Christ and the... No, it's Christ and Christ alone. And here's the consequences. And choices have consequences. If we sin willfully, and here the apostle is is he tender in his writing. If we, he puts himself in there. He doesn't say if you leave, he says if we. He puts himself right there with them. If we sin willfully, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. Christ is the only Savior. He's the only Savior. His blood is the only blood that puts away sin. His sacrifice of Himself is the only sacrifice that satisfies justice. No other sacrifice did that. We've seen that in Hebrews. They couldn't take away sin. If we leave Christ as He has set forth in the Scriptures, there's no more sacrifice for sin. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? There's no place to go. You want to talk about loss? You really lost. You really lost. If you confess to believe the gospel and then turn around and leave it, you really lost. Jesus Christ is the only Savior. He's the only sacrifice. He's the only way to God. He's the only high priest. He's the only mediator. He's the only substitute. Where are you going to go? And if one leaves Him, here's the consequence. But a certain, I underline that, certain. It's coming. A certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. You have set yourself up as an adversary of God. You are now in league with Satan. And that the adversary of the brethren. And he gives an example here as to God's punishment, God's fiery indignation. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Now listen, if they despise the types, how much worse is it to despise the real? And notice he says here, without mercy. Without mercy. No one while living on this earth has ever been dealt with without mercy. But in hell, in the second death, in the lake of fire, there is no mercy. Not even a hint of mercy. There will be a time, and that's in God's time. If a person leaves the gospel, it doesn't mean the next morning God's going to bring him into judgment. It may go 10 years, 15, 20, it may go 30 years. But there will be judgment without mercy. And I thought about our Lord hanging on Calvary's tree, dying as our substitute. Now listen, without mercy. God dealt with Jesus Christ in my place, in your place, if you believe the gospel, without mercy. Why? Because everyone whom the Lord saved at one time despised him. And he died without mercy. Now here, and I'm going to close, here are some of the reasons he gives in verse 29 for such punishment. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy first, who has trodden underfoot the Son of God. You stepped on him. You walked on him. You counted him nothing better than a stepping stone, a stool to put your feet on. You've counted the blood of the covenant, which in Acts is called the blood of God. And they knew what the blood meant. They knew what the blood was all about. You counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified or claimed to be sanctified. You know, if I claim that God has saved me, I'm claiming at the same time that I am sanctified through the blood of Christ. They understood that. They understood that. And he says, you're counting that now an unholy thing. You're counting the blood of the Son of God as no better than the blood of Judas or any other human being. You're saying his blood's no better than the blood of bulls and goats, which could not take away sin. And you've done despite to the Spirit of grace. You insulted the Holy Spirit. You called him a liar. But remember this. Remember this. He says in verse 30, for we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me. Now that does not mean that God is of a vengeful spirit. That doesn't mean like you and I, when we get vengeance, it's like getting even. It's like I'm going to get even with you, old boy. No, here's what vengeance means here. It means this, the meeting out of full justice belongs to God. That means there's coming a time when God is going to mete out the full justice you deserve for leaving. And for trodden underfoot the Son of God, counting the blood of the covenant an unholy thing, and doing despite to the Spirit of grace, there's coming a time when you have got to meet God's judgment over this. Full judgment without mercy. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It says over in Hebrews 12:29, our God is a consuming fire. God hasn't changed. I said this in a message at a Bible conference not long ago. The gospel didn't make God a kinder, gentler God. Outside of Jesus Christ, a person is about to deal with a God who's a consuming fire. And who will bring judgment without mercy? Mercy is in Christ. outside of Christ, there will be no mercy. It's much better to fall upon His mercy in Christ. Much better. Now let me close. Can a believer fall away into apostasy? This is a sober warning, isn't it? So, well, that doesn't apply to me. Let's never presume upon the grace of God, the mercy of God. I believe God has saved me. I believe He has. I believe He saved some of you. I don't know. I believe He has. But I'm not going to assume and just assume that. I'm not going to just assume that. You know, Paul said, I've not arrived. He said, I follow after that I may apprehend that which I'm apprehended of. In one place, Paul said, I keep my body under subjection, lest while I preach Christ, I myself be a castaway. That's Paul saying that. Can a believer fall away into apostasy? The short answer is no. No. The Lord Jesus Christ will not lose one sheep. He'll not lose one sheep. However, there will always be tares among the wheat, and they are so close, that the Lord says, you leave them alone, because you'll pluck up the wrong ones, right? They're so close that only He can identify the difference. Only He can tell the difference. There'll always be goats among the sheep. Always be. But here's the message. Here's the message. Hold fast the profession. Hold fast the hope that you have in Jesus Christ. Hold fast the profession of Christ. Use the means God has provided and don't turn back. No matter how hot it gets. You know, we've lived in this country. We've had religious freedom for a long time, haven't we? Don't ever think that can't be taken away. Right now, it just seems like Satan is so subtle. It's just eroding. Now you can stand and you talk about Sodom and Gomorrah. You talk about homosexuality being wrong. That gets you for a hate crime. Satan is so subtle. You don't see this. You don't see Satan in all that. It's just a little here and a little there. But use the means God has provided. Don't turn back. He said, those who turn back shall perish. But we're not of them, He said. We are not of them that turn back. We are them who believe to the saving of the soul. The Word of God is full of promises and warnings, and we need them both. We need them both. Okay, Billy.